I'm just going to pray for Viv before he shares his talk with us and reads the Bible to us. Yeah, Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have died and rose again. We thank you, Jesus, that there was no one like you and you still gave yourself for us. We pray, Lord God, that you would speak to us as Viv speaks to us, that we would just receive what you want to say to us this morning, that as we listen to the Bible, that we would understand it. And you would bless Viv as he speaks what he has prepared for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Happy Easter, everybody. You can do better than that. Happy Easter. Very good. He is alive. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Wonderful. Well, if you are new or visiting, it's great to have you with us. My name is Viv. I'm part of the leadership team. Isn't it wonderful to sing and worship and glorify Jesus together? It's such a good place to be. So thank you, band. It's been a joy. Right. I'm going to start with a game. So I need three volunteers. You don't even know what it is, and yet the kids are already going for it. Right. Go on, then. We'll go for a Talitha. I ask you to do a lot of things, Ebony Boo. I'm going to go for a Christy. I'm going to go for a Jack. Right, you may be thankful for this, right? So, this time of year is all about eggs, sort of-ish. Would you be able to take the table for me? Thank you. We'll come into the middle with the table. Okay. Now, how many of you three have ever done some baking at home with your parents? Done baking? You ever made meringue? Ever made meringue? No. Okay, so have you ever separated an egg before? You ever separated an egg before? You have. Well, today, my challenge is for you to separate an egg. Here are the eggs. You get to separate an egg. So the challenge is going to be, I want you to have some of the egg in here, the rest of the egg in there. You've got to separate the egg as fast as you can, and then at the end you can even eat it. Oh. All your ears. So, you get a cream egg each. So, that's one for you, Talitha. You're coming on that way a little bit. Jack, here's one for you. Christy, there's one for you. Now, I would like you to separate the inners from the chocolate outer. Okay, now you could use your finger, your tongue, or I've given you a nice little cocktail stick to do a thing to do it with. So, the fastest to get all of... Jack's been very patient. The fastest to get it all. And I'm going to say, do you all like cream eggs?
Yeah.
Yeah? Right, the fastest to separate it all and then eat the chocolate wins.
Okay.
Okay? Aren't you glad you wore a white top today, Talitha? So, you ready? So you've got to get the white, the bit in the middle, into the bowl, the chocolate on the plate, and then you get to eat the chocolate. On your marks, get set, go.
Go, 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 go.
Come on, we need a bit of cheering from you lot, all right? We get somewhere, you get somewhere. There you go, get your stick out. Get your stick out. Well, you got to eat the chocolate as well. So why don't you wipe it on the edge, wipe it on the edge. Look, there you go, Jack. Wipe it on there. Very good. Christy, are you done? You're not done yet? Okay, you're getting there, come on. Keep going, guys. Are we there? Can you say yes? Yes. Yes. Very good. Well done. You almost done there, Jack?
Nearly.
Nearly, nearly, nearly. He's a very precise baker. This is good. Who would have thought that a precise child will come from Kev and Rebecca? Who knew? Very good. You're all there. Excellent. Well done. Right. I didn't think this bit through, so could one of the guys over there get some tea towel, please? Thank you. Right, okie dokie. Thank you very much. That wasn't too bad, was it? Good. You get to eat chocolate. Thank you very much. Give them a round of applause. Go and see Steve and Jane over there, and they can sort you out. Oh, very good. Right. Now, believe it or not, this game does have a relevance to today. It's not just for my entertainment. We will come back to that. So if you've been here over the last few months, you'll know we've been going through the book of Romans. For those of you who haven't been here, the book of Romans was written by a church leader called Paul to the church in Rome. He'd not been there yet, and so he wanted to send a letter to let them know about the gospel. And he wanted to encourage and help them to know what it means to be a Christian, somebody that follows Jesus. And today we're going to be looking at the end of Romans, in Romans chapter 8. We'll be coming back to the rest of Romans 8 in the next couple of weeks. I know we kind of jumped forward a little bit. And Romans 8 is widely regarded as one of the highlights of the entire Bible. And the end of Romans 8, the bits we're looking at today, are regarded as the highlight of the highlight. So Romans 8 is regarded as one of the highlights of the absolute highlights of the whole Bible. And these verses are the highlight of the highlight. So if you're here for the first time this morning, you've come on a good week. So I'd like you to turn to the person next to you and say, you've come on a good week. I know some of you would debate that with me preaching, that whether you come on a good week or not, but you have come on a good week. So the passage we're looking at today is a bit like the climax of a great TV box set. Who likes watching TV box sets? Yeah, on Netflix or DVDs or anything else? And so the end of the TV box set, it's like the whole series has been building up to this one moment. You ever been to watch one of those series where you kind of can't help but watch the next episode? When Netflix is saying, do you want to watch it now? It's like, it's 11:30. But yes, let's do it. This is the climax of the entire series. So let's jump in and read Romans 8, 31 to 39 together. What shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can be against us? Since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? Who dares accuse us whom God has chosen for his own? No one. For God himself has given us right standing with himself. Who then will condemn us? No one. For Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us. And he is sitting in place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? No. Despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor rulers, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the power of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen. I told you it was a good time to be here this morning. And this passage starts off by saying, what shall we say about wonderful things as these? It's referencing something that has come before it. Does that make sense? It's referencing what's come before. So before we can look at the end of Romans 8, we need to have a bit of a catch up and know what was going on beforehand, in order to understand what's being said at the end of Romans 8. Does that make sense? Okay. So, about 10 years ago, Naomi and I decided to start watching The Night Manager. Anybody seen The Night Manager? Yeah? Okay, it's been talked about a lot. We sat down to watch it. It was really intriguing. Lots of stuff happened that we didn't really understand what was going on. But we carried on watching. The production value was good, and Naomi liked watching Tom Hiddleston. It was only when we got to the end of the episode that we realized we'd just started by watching the last episode. We'd watched the climax. I know. It took us, I reckon, about 5 years before we could actually watch the rest of it. But we had missed out on everything that had led up to that point. It was an excellent program, but we'd missed everything that had come beforehand, so it didn't make sense to us. We still enjoyed it, but it didn't have the full power that it needed. And the same can happen with the Bible. The Bible is not a collection of one-liners or one-off stories or a list of rules. The Bible is one big story made up of lots of little stories along the way, very much like a TV series. So before we can understand what Paul is saying in Romans 8, we need to have a quick recap of what has gone beforehand. So if you like your TV dramas, you may be used to the start of every episode starting with a previously on. Anybody had that on there when they've watched something? You skip past it. Well, I find it very useful, Julie, because I've usually fallen asleep for half the episode before, so I need the recap to know what actually has gone on. That happened just last night, didn't it, darling? Yeah. So are you ready for a previously on Romans? Right, I'm going to be very fast, because that's what happens on these things. Episode 1. Our sinful nature is revealed. We all have an inbuilt desire to do wrong. There is not a toddler in the world that its parents have to teach to obey, to disobey or to be naughty. It's built into every single one of us, that desire to disobey. And as a result, our actions follow our very nature. We sin. We make choices that harm ourselves and others. And no matter how hard we try, we can never make it right. Episode 2. God's judgment is for everyone. Therefore, God, who is perfect, casts judgment like a judge in a trial, that we are all found guilty. And the punishment for that is death. Fast forward to episode 4. We're saved through faith in Jesus, not our own effort. Jesus is the hero who takes the punishment for us, dying on the cross for our sin. In exchange, he gives us his right standing with God. If we choose to follow Jesus, then we are saved by our faith in him, not by our hard work. Episode 5, we become at peace with God. By episode 7, we're free. We're not restricted by rules. It's not a list of rules that we stick to, that we are free. There's liberty in our relationship with Jesus. But even this doesn't really paint the full picture. For that, we need to go back to the start of series 1, episode 1, otherwise known as Genesis. In the book of Genesis, God created man and woman in his own image. It says that he breathed breath into their nostrils. God was close and personal. It was intimate. Adam and Eve walked with God in the garden until the moment that they ate the fruit from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. This is a tree which God had explicitly told them not to touch or to eat the fruit from. And this decision changed everything forever for everyone. That decision changed everything forever for everyone. That includes us. Suddenly, the relationship between mankind and God was broken. There was a separation which happened firstly in their hearts that they hid from God. And secondly, physically, as Adam and Eve were banished from the garden, there was a separation that happened. Like our cream eggs from earlier, God designed us to be at one with him. His desire is never us to be separated from him. And when we are, like the cream egg, things get messy. A cream egg is designed to be one. It's not designed to be eaten like Christy and the others ate it. It's designed to be one. And when it's not, it gets messy. And we see this mess in our own lives, where we get hurt or we hurt others. Our relationships get messy. We see it in the world around us. You don't have to look too far into the news to see the messy world we live in, with conflict or famine or disease. Life gets messy. Okay, phew. We've caught up. We've had a whistle-stop tour leading up to Romans 8. So we've seen what happened in the rest of Romans, and we've seen the very start of episode 1. Are you hanging in there? Yeah? Good. Are you sure? Do you need a bit more chocolate? Are we okay? Good. But without this understanding, the series finale in Romans 8 doesn't have the power it's supposed to have. Unless we understand some of this backstory, we get to Romans 8, and it's a bit like Naomi and I watching The Night Manager and missing all of the rest. So let's get back to Romans 8 and have a look at this. So it says, if God is for us, who can ever be against us? Since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? Who dares accuse us whom God has chosen for his own? No one. For God himself has given us right standing with himself. Who then will condemn us? No one. For Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us. God sees the mess of our lives, and he sees a separation that we have from him. He sees our pain, our insecurity, our guilt, our anger, our pride, our self-reliance. And he chooses to break in. He chooses to break in. Friends, this is what we celebrate at Easter. That God broke in. This is the climax. This is it. Today is a glorious and wonderful day that we get to celebrate what Jesus has done. God sent his own son to die for us. Jesus took our sin and our punishment upon the cross. 3 days later, he was raised to life in triumph, defeating death so we may know God's forgiveness forever. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that a climax of a series worth watching? We're no longer separated from God. Our relationship with him is restored. Paul says this, "I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the power of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all of creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord." He repeats this same phrase twice. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. And Paul is convinced. He starts with saying, "I am convinced." My question for you today is, are you convinced? Are you convinced that nothing can separate you from the love of God? Do you believe and know deep down in your heart that nothing, nothing can separate you from the love of God? Not your mistakes, not your self-sufficiency, not your worries about the future, your struggles about today, not your financial situation, not your relationships around you, not your health. None of these, not even the troubles of life, can separate you from God's love. Many years ago now, I was in hospital for surgery, and I ended up not recovering particularly well from the surgery itself. And so I remember lying in a hospital bed one night in a room by myself, feeling pretty rubbish physically and pretty, pretty low. And I remember listening to some worship music and just saying, "God, I need to know that you're here with me in this." And I just felt his love wash over me. It was one of the worst and then one of the best moments of my life. I'd been in such a difficult place, feeling worried and sick, and yet God broke in. Nothing can separate us from God's love. As we heard from Shelley at the start of the service, God's love for us is deeper, where was that? Deeper and wider and more beautiful than anything we can ever imagine. It's not conditional on how we are all doing in life. It will never leave us or let us down. His love is like nothing we've ever experienced in relationships on earth. The relationships we have on earth, love sometimes has fault. It forgets about us. It hurts us. But the love of God is perfect. It is wonderful. It is joyful. It may not change your circumstances. Life can still be hard. I was still lying in a hospital bed. But the unchanging and everlasting love of God is something we get to experience regardless of how we're doing or how life is going. The love of God is something we get to experience regardless of how well we're doing or how life is going. And if you're a Christian today, you have chosen to put your trust in Jesus and following him. This is the reality for you. For many in this room, that is your reality. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Jesus' death on a cross means that everything that separated you from God was dealt with once and for all. Upon the cross, it was dealt with. Amen. You do not have to clean yourself up or bury your past. You don't have to try and put on a brave face. Jesus sees and knows everything. All your great parts and all those bits that are not so great. He knows it all. And yet he chose to willingly die for you. For me. He removed the separation between you and God, raising us to new life with him through his resurrection from the dead. We are raised to life with him. As he was raised, we are raised into life with him. What a joyous thing that is. Our sin is not just forgiven, but we are brought into new life. So today is a day of celebration. It's why we have Bunting Up. It's why we've sung songs that glorify Him. It's why we get to enjoy being the church family together and just praising God today. It's because it is a celebration of what He has done for us. But there may be some of you here today who wouldn't call yourself a Christian. You don't have a personal relationship with Jesus. There's an opportunity for you today. The uncomfortable reality is that you're living life separate from God. If you're not following Jesus with your life, you're living a life separate. Whether you're a child or whether you're an adult, this is the reality. Like our cream egg from earlier, it is not God's design or plan for you to be separate from Him. There is a messiness to life which none of us is able to solve by ourselves. There's a messiness to life which none of us is able to solve ourselves. But God did not spare even His own Son, but gave Him up for you. Christ Jesus died for you and was raised to life for you. If you're here today and you do not know Jesus, you no longer need to be separate from God. Today you can choose to put your faith in Him, to put your faith in Jesus and receive His forgiveness for your sin. It was won on the cross, and begin a wonderful, lifelong relationship with Him. That's what's on offer today for all of us that do not know Jesus. Knowing the deep, faithful and everlasting love He has for you. And if that's something you'd like to do, then you can choose to do that right now. If you're not a follower of Christ, but you have heard and are compelled or convinced that actually God's love is for me too, then you can choose to do that right now. As I close, I'm going to pray a very simple prayer, which you can choose to pray in your head as a sign that you're choosing to put your faith in Jesus. Can I invite us all to close our eyes? Just means that we could just kind of focus on the words that are being spoken. Father, thank you for the joy of Easter. Thank you that we are designed to be in relationship with you. I understand that I've been living life separate from you, and I'm sorry for where I make a mess of life and cause hurt to myself or to others. Jesus, I thank you that you choose to die on the cross and took the punishment for my sin. I thank you that you were raised to life, defeating death and bringing me back into relationship with God the Father. I am convinced that from today, nothing can separate me from your love. And so I choose to put my faith in you and start living my life in relationship with you. Amen.